So we're going to be concentrating a wee bit on chapter 21 of John's Gospel, particularly about Peter's reinstatement, his restoration, which is a wonderful story in itself. It reminds us of the true nature of God, that he saw something in, that Jesus saw something in this man, Peter, and he wasn't going to let him go, and that's what the outcome would be, of course, for Peter, that Jesus didn't let him go. But we have to understand some of the roller coaster emotions that Peter was feeling throughout his short time with Jesus, from being called in the initial stages, being there through all the miracles and all the wondrous things that were happening. And yet, of course, when it came to it, even though he said, "I would die for you, Jesus, I would die for you," actually, he found it hard, like most of us would, and he turned away and he denied his Lord three times. And so all of that was going on in his mind. And now here they were gathered for breakfast on the beach, which we heard last week. And it says here that afterwards, after breakfast, Jesus actually began to speak to Simon Peter. How would you have felt? How would you have felt if you were Peter? I remember when I was an apprentice, one of the things that you had to do was that you went in with your father and stood before your employer in the dockyard, and we basically signed a three-way covenant with each other that I would complete my apprenticeship and do all that I needed to do to learn those gifts and skills to be a useful fitter and turner in the dockyard. And my father signed against it too. So if I went wrong, his name was besmirched too. And after 12 weeks, just 12 weeks, I was in a group of, as it happens, 12 people, and we grew very close together. But actually, we weren't taking things awfully seriously, and they wanted to give me a short, sharp shock. They wanted to test my resolve about what I'd been called to do and what I signed up to. And so my father was called in as well, and it was really embarrassing, and I felt lousy, absolutely awful. But it turned me around. I needed to hear someone say something to turn me around. I have to say that in the reinstatement of Peter, I don't see it in quite that way. I don't think Jesus was being unkind. He was just testing Peter's resolve and his obedience to God's word and God's presence in his life. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, "The spirit of obedience gives more joy to God than anything else on this earth." The spirit of obedience. And in Peter, as I suggest, we've had these kind of roller coaster of emotions, and his response to Jesus was varied, to say the least. But he doesn't stand alone in that. And so in this story of restoration, in this story of reinstatement, we see that Jesus is beginning to look into Peter's heart and to ask some very important questions. I think there was a gentle but a thorough searching of this gentle giant of a man who expressed initially and revealed his love for Jesus. And it was still there, and Jesus knew it, but he had to ask. Yes, Peter had failed, but here was Jesus bringing Peter back to his own heart, helping Peter to find his way back to where he needed to be. And the way John writes in this gospel, he says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of John." You know you're in trouble when you get the full name, don't you? Look out. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And I got to thinking about and reading about what does "these" mean? Because it doesn't actually say what these are. And there are different thoughts about this. And I prayed about this, and I bring these things before you. These things could be, "Peter, do you love me more than these men love me?" In other words, the other disciples. How are you on a scale of 1 to 10 with the rest of them? Do you love me more than these men? "Lord, you know that I love you." And of course, the truth was that Jesus did know about Peter's heart. He just wanted to know what's going on in his mind and in his heart. Would he be obedient to the Lord God in these things? Would he be obedient to Jesus? Do you love me more than these men love me? They'd heard him say, I'll die for you. And they'd also heard about the fact that actually he denied his Lord three times. Hence the question, the same question, three times. The other possibility that Jesus was talking about here, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love your disciple, the rest of the disciples, more than you love me? It's a very interesting question, isn't it? Had Peter grown very fond of his colleagues? And when Jesus went to the cross and all seemed lost, was his love more for the people around him, the disciples, than it was for Jesus? It's an interesting question, because I think we can actually, we can get to that place where we love people and forget that actually it's Jesus that we love. It's Jesus that we love. And as a result of that, we also get to love the people whom God brings around us. Do you love those disciples more than you love me, Peter? Lord, you know that I love you. And yes, Jesus knew that too. Third possibility, Peter. Do you love me more than these things, your possessions, the boat, the nets, your occupation, fishing, the whole thing? Is that more important to you than I am? I think that's where it becomes really a challenge to us all, isn't it? You know, that actually there are things in our lives, attachments. It's all about attachments in the end. To what or to whom are we attached? And Jesus was challenging Peter on every level in this situation. What's more important to you, Peter? Lord, you know that I love you. You know that. Jesus was just asking, and I think he asked us too. So what are the attachments in our lives? People, things. What are the most important things in your life? One of the greatest challenges that we face often as Christians is to try and hang a bit loose to those attachments. So our possessions. I like the things I've got, my guitar and all those kinds of things. They're really important. I love them. But who do they really belong to? I mean, we need to get the right idea. Because if we raise Jesus above all those things, and actually often he said, well, that's fine. Use them in my service. Enjoy. He gives them back. The hardest thing that we have to face as Christians, of course, sometimes is our attachment to our financial well-being. And how we handle all of those things. What is the most important here? And Jesus will ask that question. It doesn't mean to say that we have to be poor, but what he wants to know is, if I ask you to give something to somebody, will you do that? Will you do that for me? Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know that I love you. And I think this is a real challenge, certainly a real challenge for me. It's very easy to hear God say, actually, I do want you to give something to that man on the street today, and to walk by on the other side, because it's easier to do that sometimes. But if you hear him saying to you, do it today, then we need to do it, or whatever the equivalent is. Where are your attachments? To whom are you most attached? To what are you most attached? We're singing the song, Above All Powers. We need to raise him up. He's above all the rest. And then he gives us bounteously from his storehouse, which is much better than we can even begin to imagine or think upon. So those three areas, do you love me more than these men love me? That's to do with, you know, what is the quality of our relationship with God? How are we fostering and nurturing that particular relationship with him? Is it about the church or is it about Jesus? This isn't a social club. This is a place where we meet together as the family of God to meet with Jesus. Or what about the one, is your love more for the people around you than it is for me? Or indeed, the other attachments, the things of life. Do you love me? He just kept saying it, and Peter was astonished and saddened, and he just didn't know what to make of it, really. He was really struggling with that. Lord, you know that I love you. And then he wanted to take back the reins a wee bit, because Jesus had gone on to say, you know, you feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will lead you. And that was a tough thing for him. And it was actually quite prophetic, because that's exactly what would happen for Peter. He would go to the cross like his master did and be crucified. And tradition has it that he was crucified upside down because he felt he was even unworthy. And he didn't want to be on the same plane as what happened to Jesus. Jesus indicated this to show what kind of death that Peter would have to go through. And so Peter turns around and he said, well, what about John, your beloved disciple? What about him? What's going to happen for him? And Jesus said quite strongly, if I want him to remain until I return, what's that to you? So it's about our relationship. It's about our relationship with Jesus that's most important. We can't live someone else's walk. We can live the walk that God gives to me, and you can live the walk that God gives to you, but you can't live someone else's. Or worry about what God is doing in someone else's life. What's he doing in my life? And enabling me to do for other people. It's a real challenge. And Jesus asks us these questions too. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Let us pray.